On a hill, dark and cold, like a pilgrim of old, I was lost and could travel no more. As I fell neath my load, in the depth of the road, Jesus whispered, I've been here before. And Jesus climbed every mountain of life for me. When he climbed the dark pathway to Mount Calvary, in life's darkest valley, my song shall be that Jesus climbed every mountain for me. When at last I shall stand viewing heaven's bright land, at the end of life's long weary way, and when rejoicing I'll go through the valley here below, to a land that's more fairer than day. 'Cause Jesus climbed every mountain of life for me. When he climbed the dark pathway to dark Calvary, in life's darkest valley, my song shall be that Jesus climbed every mountain for me. In life's darkest valley, my song shall be that Jesus climbed every mountain for me.
Amen. 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 Thank the Lord that we can come to Him with our burdens, our heartaches, our needs, and He'll never say, well, I don't understand about that. Amen. Tempted in all points as we are, experiencing every heartache, hurt, burden we'll ever experience. And He is a great high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We can come boldly to His throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Thank you, Brother Laster, for that song. Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I shall preach to you this morning from one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I have trouble associating with the life of the Apostle Peter or the Apostle Paul or a Timothy, great men of God. But myself, like you, probably has very little difficulty associating with the prodigal. Luke chapter 15, if you'll stand with me, we shall begin to read in verse number 11. The Bible says, and Jesus said, that's the He, and He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his son's neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto him, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll leave off reading there. I want to speak to you from this story this morning on this subject: the downward progression of a sinner. The downward progression of a sinner. Heavenly Father, help us to learn something from this story that will help our own personal life. Lord, every one of us faces the temptations of sin every day of our life. Many here today have yielded to temptations, and they're battling the results of sin in their life. They're living in hurt and heartache. Some have been deceived by Satan into thinking they are different. They can sin and get by with it, or they can sin and be happy, or that sin will provide them all of the joys and the fulfillment and the happiness that they dream. God, help them to awaken this morning from their sleep and to realize that, Lord, Satan's a liar and sin is destructive, and sinners do not climb the ladder of joy and peace and a great life. They go down and down and down until their life is wasted and their future is hopeless. Lord, I do not know all who are here today, but I know that some need Christ. Someone here today needs to be saved. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would convict of sin. You would save every unsaved person in this building today. There are others who have been saved but have never been scripturally baptized, and they need to come today and unite with this church and present themselves as candidates for baptism. There are others who need a church home, and this is the place you would have them serve you. God, speak to their heart. They don't need to visit 5 or 10 times if you have said this is that place. Lord, I think about the place where you called me to preach. I visited 1 time and you told me this is where you want me to go. And the preacher wasn't even there that Sunday. And I joined. And later it was there you called me to preach. And my life in the ministry began simply because I obeyed you. Now, Father, speak to hearts today. There's someone here that's on the journey of the prodigal even today. They haven't ended up at the hog pen yet, but they're close. They're on their way. Speak to their hearts. Save their life. Save their soul. Bring them back to that place where they have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and their life might count again for you. Now, Lord, I love you. I need you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Speak through me today, and we'll thank you in advance what you shall do in this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A person living in sin never remains the same as when he started out on his sinful journey. Sin always begins to tear down. Sin always brings hurt, and sin always destroys the individual who has chosen that path for his life. I say to you again that living in sin, a person living in sin never remains the same. He's never the same in his spirit. Sin makes a person harder and harder until there's no compassion, no concern for anyone or anything except themselves. I can look into the eyes of young men and young ladies who have grown up and are innocent in their life, and I can see in their eyes when they began to take that journey of the prodigal, the light has gone out. The joy is no longer there. The peace, the innocence reveals itself in the lack of innocence reveals itself in the light of their countenance. Sin never leaves a person the same in their spirit. I've seen beautiful young ladies and fine young men come to the place where they make the decision to take the journey of the prodigal, and they come back with a bad spirit and a hateful spirit and a hurtful spirit. A person living in sin never remains the same in his actions. You can't do a little bit of sin and stop. Sin is addictive. It calls for more and more and more until even the beginning stages of sin is not enough. It leads to perversion becoming the normal in our life. A person living in sin is never the same in his life. What may start out so innocently as fun continues until it's habitual and harmful. It drags the sinner down and down and down until there's no hope and no peace and no future except a hog pen. The downward progression of sin takes a person from that place of pleasure in sin for a season to the place of tears and heartaches and waste and destruction. I've chosen to use the story of the prodigal son to illustrate the truth I'm trying to convey in our message today. And there's no doubt some here who have already determined in their heart to take that journey of the prodigal. You've already taken your leave from mom and dad. You've already gotten out of the umbrella of their authority and their protection, and you're on your way to the far country. It won't be long before laughter turns to tears and the fun turns to hurt and to waste. Others are already on that journey downward in sin. It'll be but a short time, if you haven't already found yourself there, until you begin to experience the downward pull and plunges in your life because of that sin. Then I'm glad I can tell you that there are others here today who have been delivered from the journey of the prodigal. There's a hog pen in the past of many here today, but thank God it is in the past and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you've come to yourself and returned unto the Lord, you have a new life, a new walk, a new hope, a new future, all because of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father graciously heard your cry for help and forgiveness. You've been delivered and forgiven, and you're established again on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. But may I say to you that no matter how great the Father's forgiveness was, you're living and you'll always live with the awful memories of the hog pen. And those scars that are in your body and in your mind, though that sin that put them there is forgiven, you'll have to live with those scars the rest of your life. I want to say to you this morning how much better off we are if we would learn to trust the Word of God and never experience the hog pen in our life. We don't have to jump in fire to know that it burns. We don't have to get cancer to know how awful it is. We don't have to get shot to learn how dangerous a gun might be. We don't have to go through a Katrina to know how destructive a hurricane can be. By the way, when they say the hurricane's coming, you ought to leave. Leave. I can't believe they're blaming the president for the hurricane. And they're blaming the president for the people not getting out of New Orleans. Hey, they were warned. They were warned. They chose to stay. Someone said, well, they have no transportation. Bless God, they got feet. They got a thumb. I saw the traffic on Interstate 10. You could run along beside a pickup and jump in the back of it. They stayed because they wanted to stay. Now, yes, there were some sick people and elderly people that had no choice, people who were alone, but the greater part of them made a choice to stay there. You don't have to go through a hurricane to know its destructive force. We don't have to end up in the hog pen to learn how horrible and destructive sin really is. God has given us a brain and understanding if we'll just use it. He's made it possible for us to have wisdom so we can avoid sinful hurt. And I say often here, a wise man learns from his own mistakes. I hope there's some people in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast that learned when they say evacuate to evacuate. Wise men learn from their own mistakes. Wiser men learn from others' mistakes. Bless God, I've learned. If they say a hurricane's going to hit Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm moving out. You say, well, there's no danger up here. If they say leave, I'm leaving. Learn from others' mistakes. But a fool never learns. Now, I've said all of that to say this. If you'll open your eyes, you can see how destructive sin is. If you'll look at the hurt and the heartaches and the downward journey of prodigals, those who have pulled away from God, pulled away from the church, pulled away from parents, pulled away from the authority of the Word of God, said, I'm going to live my own life, I'm going to do it my own way. Look at them and learn from them. They have not become stronger or happier or more blessed. They are not more beautiful or more handsome or more intelligent. They have been scarred and hurt and marred and marked and suffered because of sin and its downward pull. And if there's any wisdom in you, you'll learn from their mistakes. And never have to end up experiencing the hog pen. And for my message this morning, I want to talk to you about five things concerning the downward progression of sin and sinners. Number one, I want you to notice the sinner's demand. The sinner's demand. Verse number 12, the prodigal said, give me. Give me. Give me my portion. Give me what's mine. I want my rights. I want my way. I want to do it how I want to do it. Give me. Give me. Give me. The sinner's demand. The prodigal is always a self-centered person. He's always living only for himself with no thought of how his life and actions are hurting others. He never thinks of those who love him most and how deeply they'll be hurt because of his sin and his attitude. He demands his father to give him his portion. Give me. Learn this, young people. Learn this, Christians. We don't demand God, and we don't demand from each other, and we don't demand from mom and daddy. Our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and our relationship as children to parents should be on a entreating basis, a requesting basis. The prodigal's already gone in his heart and in his mind when he starts saying, give me, I want what's mine, I want to do it my way, and makes demands. Beware of the young person making demands on mom and dad today. The inmates are running the asylums. That's what too many homes are like today. He demanded his father give him a portion of his inheritance. And the father wasn't even dead. He wasn't even old. He wasn't even sick. I want it now. I want it. Give me. I demand what's mine. The sinner's demand. Beware of demanding. Notice his independence. He thought he didn't need father or mother or family. He wanted out from under the authority. He didn't think he needed the church or the rules of mom and dad or the rules of a youth department or the rules of a church ministry. He wanted his independence. Well, I may be an independent Baptist, but you're looking at one of the most dependent independent Baptists you've ever seen in your life. I'm dependent on God, and I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit, and I'm dependent on my wife, and on you, and you on me, and the relationship. Beware of that person that starts saying, I want my independence. I don't want authority. I don't want anyone to rule over me. He probably thought mother and father were old-fashioned. They don't understand me. Here's one. Do you ever hear this? Well, they just don't trust me. Yeah, they're smarter than that. When you get to be a mom and dad and you remember who you are and what you were, you won't trust you either. You wouldn't trust them. My kid said, you don't trust me. I said, yeah, you got it. You got it. Trust is not a right. It's earned. And once you break that trust, it takes far longer to rebuild it. They don't understand what I need and what I want. Yeah, they do. They do. They're trying to protect you. Trying to protect your life and your future. Mother and father did understand that the hurt of sin never changes in any generation. It does not matter what's acceptable by society in this day. Acceptability doesn't keep sin from wrecking and ruining and hurting. There's a lot of things that are acceptable by society, but they're not acceptable to God. Because they take you on a journey down, down, down until it wrecks and ruins and robs and destroys your life. When a child below legal age leaves the rules of mom and dad, when you pull away from the church, you're pulling yourself away from the umbrella of God's protection and God's blessings on your life. Second thing I want to point out is not only the sinner's demand, but the sinner's delusion. Look at verse 13 and 14. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Notice the statement, he spent all. He never dreamed it'd be like that. He thought he was different. He thought he could sin and get by with it. He thought he could manage money far better than daddy could. He thought he could make decisions far better than the authorities over him. In his delusion, he never dreamed that sin would bring him to the place where we had no place to live, nothing to eat, no money to buy anything with, no job except to feed hogs. He thought he could violate God's law and never get caught. And that's the foolish idea of every prodigal. May I say to you, there's always a limit to what one can spend, whether it be money, sin, time, or a life. There comes a place when you spend all. There comes a place in our life where one can waste their substance and end up homeless and helpless. One can waste their life and end up with a broken life, hurting loved ones, and a heart filled with regrets. One can waste their time and never do one thing that really matters in this life. One can live in sin and use up your loved ones and use up your friends and end up all alone in the hog pen, a place you have chosen by yourself because of your foolish choices. In sin, there's a time when pleasure turns to tears, when laughter turns to hurt, when plenty turns to want. There's no such thing as privilege without responsibility on the part of any person. You can't expect the blessings and the privilege of life without being faithful and responsible in life. Third thing I want to point out is the sinner's disgust. The sinner's demands, the sinner's delusion. Now the sinner's disgust. Look at verse 14, 15, and 16. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." I promise you, he never dreamed that he'd be in that condition. But sin always takes the sinner down, down, down. Takes him out of the Father's house and puts him in the hog pen. Now I want you to look at this. This is a story about a little Jewish boy. Last thing they'd do would ever raise swine. Pigs. But he's not only feeding them, he's eating with them and sleeping with them. I've never visited a man in jail who was proud and happy about being in jail. I've never met a person in jail that said, "Man, I'm so excited about being here." No, they'll say, "Preacher, get me out. Help me." All the disgust of sin. I visited many who were filled with shame and regret. I've never visited a person whose sin had put him in the hog pen who was happy about being in the hog pen. Amen. The prodigal's hog pen always brings shame and sorrow to the sinner. The prodigal's hog pen always brings shame and sorrow to the sinner's family as well. All the tears of mamas and daddies that are shed because of the downward progression of sin, taking their loved one down and down and away and away. I don't know about you. I couldn't stand to see my mama and daddy cry, especially when it's because of my stupidity and my foolishness. You listen to me, young people. You listen to me, mama and daddy. You listen to me, Christian. You listen to me, person thinking about that affair, thinking about that decision to walk away from God, to take your journey into the far country. Those that love you most are going to be hurt the deepest. Your sin and journey away from God destroys marriages. It doesn't strengthen. It doesn't help. It hurts. Your sin and journey away from God will destroy your children. God remembers the sins of mom and daddy to the second and third generation. The third and fourth generation, the scripture says, of them that hate him. The sinner's disgust. Can you imagine this young man? Not banqueting now. He's about to eat slop. He's not sitting at a table covered with a white cloth and a napkin, dressed in a tuxedo. He's laying in manure, about to eat what hogs won't eat. And he's gone from that lofty place down, down, down because of sin. Notice in the fourth place, the sinner's destruction. He's in the hog pen now. Sin has brought him down. His money's gone. Food's gone. A place to stay is gone. His friends have left him. What happens now? Where does the hog pen lead? Does the prodigal just die in the hog pen? Many do. Many never get out of the hog pen. The hog pen is a natural step in the progression down, down, down of sin. I say again, sin does not lead to a happy life or the peaceful life. The sinner's life is not filled with joy and satisfaction. Ask the drunk and his family. They're in want. They're craving more, and the family is suffering because of the drunk's sin. Ask the dope addict and his family to see how happy they are and how many of their needs are being met. Ask the harlot and her family. She goes out and sells her body and thinks that I can have a good time and make money. In just a few short years, a young woman is old. And her life is so scarred and messed up by sin. Ask the homosexual about their life. They gave themselves the name gay, but they're not gay. That word means happy and fulfilled. They're sad and empty and looking for perversion. Try to give them a moment of satisfaction. Ask those in jail or prison about their families. Ask their families how good sin's been to them. I've never had a testimony service where people got up and said, I want to tell you how good the devil has been to me. I want to tell you how wonderful sin has treated me. No, no, no. Sin takes you down, down. It empties your pocket. It messes up your mind. It hardens your heart. It stiffens your neck. It ruins your life. Sin is deceptive in its appearance and always destructive in its nature. For this prodigal in the hog pen, the laughter has died. The lights have gone out. The beautiful women are gone. The only companions the prodigal has are the pigs. And the smell is no longer expensive perfume. It's manure. Sin sure does take you down, folks. And some of you listening to my voice right now, you know from personal experience. You can look where you used to be and where you are now because of sin. And your position now because of sin is not greater than what you used to be when you were right with God. Thank God some of you have gotten right and you're on your way back up in Jesus Christ. Sinner has but one of two choices. He can die in the hog pen, or he can get right with God and return to the Father. Many never leave the hog pen. They just die under the wages of sin. Now, I've talked for a few minutes this morning on the sinner's demand and the sinner's delusion, the sinner's disgust and the sinner's destruction. Now then, I want to conclude for just a moment on the subject of the sinner's deliverance. Thank God, God has made a way of escape from the hog pen. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to the father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill him. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. May I say to you very quickly, there's only one way out of the hog pen. Only one way. One cannot reform the prodigal because sin cannot cast out sin. There's no rehabilitation for the prodigal. When you try to rehabilitate a dead man, you just have a dead man. The only way out of sin and its condemnation is the one and only way God has provided for us. And that way is through Jesus Christ, who loved us while we were yet sinners and died for us on that old cross of Calvary. God provided only one way for Noah and his family to be delivered from the flood waters in Genesis, and that is the ark. And the ark is a picture of Jesus, the only way for sinners to be delivered from their sin. God provided only one way for Israel to be delivered from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. God had to deliver them. May I say to you, sinners can't save themselves. They can't forgive themselves. They can't lift themselves up out by their own bootstraps. They have to turn to God, who in His Son Jesus has made a way for forgiveness and a new life and a new hope and a new direction and a new purpose. God has provided that way for the sinner. That way is through the cross of Jesus Christ. One person, Jesus Christ, died to pay our sin debt. There's only one way of salvation from sin. There's only one way of forgiveness. There's only one hope for the sinner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. The one who came down from heaven and became man. The one who lived and was tested and tried in all points as we. The one who never sinned. He never had a wrong thought, took a wrong step, did a wrong deed. He was born without sin and he lived without sin and he died on that old rugged cross with all our sin upon him, paying for it, that we might have life everlasting. Now notice what the prodigal had to do in order to be delivered. He had to face the truth about sin and his condition. The scripture said he came to himself. You know what that verse implies? That verse implies that a man living in sin is out of his mind. He's not thinking right. He's been deluded. He's been deceived. He's been duped by the devil. He came to himself. And if you're ever going to find deliverance from your sin, then you've got to come to yourself and realize that your sin is as bad as God says it is. You have no hope in yourself. You must face the truth about your sin and your condition. What a foolish thing it would have been for that prodigal to say, "This slop isn't all that bad. It's not so bad laying out here with the hogs. I didn't think manure would smell that rich. No, it stunk. The hogs were dirty. It wasn't a banquet in the trough, it was slop. It was the husk that the hogs left." He had to face the truth. Sin hadn't made him better. It had made him worse. It hadn't lifted him up. It had brought him down. And my dear friends, if you're ever going to get saved, if you're ever going to get right, you've got to come to the place where you see your sin like God sees it. It's as rotten and worthless and destructive as God ever says it. It's as bad as you can think it is and worse. You can't paint sin as black as God knows it is. But there's got to be a time when we acknowledge the fact that I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I've gone down in sin. I'm in this mess because of my stupid decisions. My rebellion. Secondly, he had to have a change of heart about his sin. He said, "Man, I thought I needed to get away from Daddy. I need to get out from under his authority, and now then servants back home. are better off than I am. He had to have a change of heart about his sin. He had to want to come back to the Father. My dear friend, you've got to be willing to come back to Jesus today. You've got to be willing to come and trust Him. I can't push Jesus down your throat. I can't take you by the arm and drag you down the aisle. I can't make you give your life to Jesus. You've got to have a change of heart and a change of mind. You've got to see your sinful condition and say, I want to go back. I want to come back to the place of forgiveness. Thirdly, he had to admit his sin as a prodigal, and that his sin was against God and against his Father. Now, I love the spirit of this prodigal here. When he came to himself, he started thinking right. And he said, I'd be better off a servant in my father's house. I've been a fool. I'm going home and I'm going to say, Daddy, I've sinned against God and in your sight. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired servant. Let me come home as a slave, a servant in your house. That's what he is willing to do.
Amen.
He admitted his sin to the Father, and he was willing to go beyond what the Father even required.
Amen.
He was willing to put himself on probation and work his way back into the good graces of the Father, if that's what it took.
Amen.
And he got up and he came to the Father, and he said, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be thy son. And the daddy wouldn't let him go any further. Because that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to come back and admit our sinfulness and admit that our sin is against God. And when we do, like this prodigal's father, God just stops everything and says, you're forgiven. Welcome home. Put a ring on his finger. I want everybody to know the signet says he's my son. Put a robe on his back. I want his old stinking hog pen clothes covered with a clean robe of God's righteousness. Put shoes on his feet. You see, people's status was decided by the footwear. Slaves didn't wear shoes. Sons wore sandals and shoes. Put shoes on his feet. I want everybody to know this guy's not a slave in my house. He's not a servant. He's my son.
Amen.
Kill the fatted calf. Let's eat. Be merry, because this my son was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. And I say to you today, you want to be clean, you want to be right, you want to have a new beginning. Come back to the Father. Acknowledge to Him your sin. Admit that you sinned first and foremost against God. And ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you. I promise you, far more than the prodigal wanted forgiveness, the Father wanted him to come. So he could be forgiven. And I say to you this morning, there is a heavenly Father that wants you to come home to him this morning far more than you may be desiring to come. You may be overwhelmed with a desire to come, but it's nothing compared to how much God wants you to come and receive his cleansing and his forgiveness and have that new beginning. That new life.
Amen.
And that new hope. Oh, I cry to you this morning. Come. Come to him. Start anew in Christ. Accept his forgiveness. Some of you need to be saved today. Jesus stands waiting for you to come. He said, all who come unto me, I'll not cast one out. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, prodigal, you're here today. You're backslidden. You're away from God. You come today. You be honest with him. Admit your sin. Ask him to forgive your sin. He stands ready with ample forgiveness, especially for you, waiting for you to come. Some of you are here today and need a church home. Quickest way I know to find your journey to the prodigal is to stay out of church. You're saved. You're looking for a church home. You're in a precarious situation today. The devil would like for you to just spend a couple of years looking, because in that time he can get you on the road of the prodigal. You need to seek his will and do it. You know his will. You need to do it. Find his will and get in it. If this is that place, you ought to join today. You ought to come today. And some of you have been tempted like the prodigal to say, I want my way. I want my rights. Give me. You ought to come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to learn. I want to be wise and learn from others' mistakes so I don't ever have to go through it myself. You ought to come and get close to the Father today. That's where the blessing is. That's where the good life is. That's where the satisfaction is. That's where the joy is. Getting back close to the Father, the Heavenly Father. Amen. Father, I've preached the message.